An officer of the law must know the law. He can't be pulling you over for speeding and he don't know what the speed limit is. He's got to know the law. And so it's the same thing with the child of God, the disciple of Christ. You must know the word. You got to be in the word.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message, The Name of Jesus as a Weapon, from our series, Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Name of Jesus as a Weapon.
And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know. Woo! Woo! And Paul I know. Put your name, when you want to, and Bill I know. And George I know. And Leon, I know. And Caesar, I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, I don't know what naked means. there was one of him and seven of them. And here they come trying to use the name of Jesus. Didn't work for them. If you're abiding in Christ and his life is flowing through you, he has entitled you to use his name. And when we get in circumstances and when we get in situations, we have this authority to be able to use the name of Jesus. Do you have that one chart that you can put up there? The one on the authorization to use the power? There you go. There you go. To use the name of Jesus represents entitlement. An officer of the law. Now, you know, I hesitated to use this, especially, you know, with all the bad press that the law enforcement people have been given. But, you know, I praise God for law enforcement people. I really do. There's some bad ones out there. We know that. But the majority of them are good. And we have people right in this congregation who are involved in law enforcement that love the Lord. And they're doing the right thing. So, you know, those that are upholding the law in a righteous manner, you know, we applaud and we support them. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. You know, the ones that are here. Amen. But those who are doing the right thing, they are backed up by the authority of the government. Why did Pastor Glaze not keep going when he went through that light? Because he realized that there was computers in Harrisburg. They were going to run you down, bro. They're going to run you down. Now, again, I stopped because it was the right thing. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I was the right thing. That's why. But then I could have said, he's not after me. All right. And so as disciples of Christ, we are backed up by the authority of Jesus Christ, by his authority. An officer of the law must know the law. He can't be pulling you over for speeding and he don't know what the speed limit is. He's got to know the law. And so it's the same thing with the child of God, the disciple of Christ. You must know the word. You've got to be in the word. The officer of the law gets his orders from the home base. Right? Something comes. Domestic disturbance over it. They get their orders and they go. Why? Because they are receiving orders from the headquarters. Where do we get our orders from? We get our orders from heaven. We don't take our orders from man. We don't take our orders from anybody else. We take them from God. Then they got a badge. And that badge gives them the authority to act. We got the name of Jesus. And that gives us the authority that we can act and we can use the name of Jesus to speak to our situations with power and with authority. Now, you know, I hesitate sometimes, even in preparing this message, because I know that, and I want you to hear me on this right here. I know that there are people that are at extremes with this thing, right? I mean, they're at extremes to the point where they just make it seem absurd and ridiculous. And so I really ask the Lord, Lord, help me to give a balanced presentation here, because I think that we look at some people and they talk about taking authority and they talking about rebuking and they talk about all that, and that's kind of caused us to shy away from it. Don't shy away from what God gave you. Use the name of Jesus. It is a weapon. But understand that you are armed, and understand what that means. And so we look at the final point, and that is deployment. Deployment. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 8, and we probably won't read a lot of things in here. Might not read anything, but you'll at least know where I'm coming from. Matthew chapter 8. And we see in Matthew chapter 8, in the first 13 verses, that Jesus, he actually heals a leper, and he heals a man who is sick with the palsy. Let me go back now. Let me go back. So I'm not going to take the time to read that. You can read that. It's there. It's in there. What did I already say? Jesus has all authority. He has all authority. And that if we are connected with him, we are what? We are entitled to call upon him to do what he's able to do. Plain and simple. If we are connected with him, we can call on him and ask him to do whatever it is that we are looking for him to do. And so we can speak to our sickness in the name of Jesus. We can speak to our sickness in the name of Jesus. Now, in case somebody get me wrong, I put a prayer in here, and I got scripture behind what I'm saying to help us understand. Look at this. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha, God who heals. Exodus 15, 26. You gave the disciples power and authority to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you allow your healing power to flow into my body or whoever you're praying for in a mighty way. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, let your healing power, I'm asking, Lord, let your healing power flow into my body. I'm taking authority against this sickness. Please, Lord, if this sickness is of Satan, we know that Satan can inflict sickness, because he did it to Job. God gave him permission, and the Bible says in Job 2:7 that he afflicted Job with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. If our sickness is of Satan, I ask that you rebuke him. I'm not rebuking him. Lord, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Jude 9. What did it say? What did it say? That when Satan hid the body of Moses, that the archangel Michael, he didn't bring an accusation against Satan. What did he say? The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, is this sickness of Satan? Lord, I ask that you would rebuke the devil off my life. In the name of Jesus, we can pray and ask God to rebuke the devil in our life. All sickness is not natural. Some sickness is inflicted because Satan. Mighty quiet in here. Say, Pastor Glaze, see, he seen some strange doctrine up in here. No, I got scripture behind what I'm saying. If it is due to the infirmities of the flesh, see, because some sickness is just due because we have bodies of flesh and we have sin. Not because of any sin that we committed, but just because of the original sin, Adam's sin, that our bodies are corrupted and they are prone to sickness. And so if it's due to the infirmity of the flesh, I ask that you touch the body, my body, whoever I'm praying for, according to your will, according to your will. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want your will. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch my body according to your will. Apostle Paul, he prayed, thorn in the flesh. Now, we can talk about what the thorn in the flesh was. There's all kind of ideas about what the thorn in the flesh was. But he had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed and asked God to take it away. And God said, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to leave it there. And Paul said that I might glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so, Lord, if this is not of Satan, if it's because of the sickness that comes as a result of our sinful bodies, Lord, I pray that you would heal me according to your plan and according to your purpose. And evidently, it wasn't God's purpose or plan to heal Paul at that time. It's like I said before. Can you imagine Paul? Lord, if you just heal me, I'll travel throughout the world and preach the gospel. Lord, if you just heal me, I'll start churches everywhere I go. Lord, if you just heal me, I'll write most of the New Testament. And the Lord said, well, you're going to do that anyways. And I'm not going to heal you. Father, I ask, let me back up. The Apostle John desired that his readers be in good health. In 3 John 1, Father, I ask that you restore my health, whoever I'm praying for their health, in harmony to your eternal plans and purposes. That's taking authority over sickness. That's taking authority over sickness. I've seen so many people, and I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble, and I know I'm probably going to have calls, cards, letters, and emails, okay? But my email address is ironman@gmail.com. But you know, I hear people, and I know this is going to not sit good with some. I hear people say, sickness, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And then people get even sicker and die. And to me, there's no balance there. That's why I say, God didn't tell us to rebuke the devil. He didn't tell us to rebuke sickness. He said that we pray and ask the Lord to rebuke it. You can't stand up. You have absolutely no power at all on your own to stand up against anything. The only power that you have is the power that's in you through the Holy Spirit. And that's how you can stand. That's how you've been equipped, and that's how you have been empowered. And so if we're going to pray in the name of Jesus, we need to do it the right way. We don't need to freelance through the scripture and come up with all kind of stuff that we command, in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't do it in the name of Pastor Glaze. In the name of Jesus, against sickness. The second thing that we can speak to the storms in our lives, in the name of Jesus. The disciples were on the sea, and there was a storm that came up. And Jesus was sleeping on the boat. And they came and said, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? And Jesus got up, he rebuked the storm, and he spoke peace to the storm. And the storm was calm. Storm was calm. What did I say? Jesus has all authority. If we are connected to him, he has what? He has entitled us to speak in his name. Look at the prayer. Father, Jesus is the creator of the land, the sea, and the sky. And he has all power in heaven and earth. He is able to override the laws of nature. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the trials, tribulation, and storms that come in my life. I declare that in the midst of them, I will not lose my joy. I will endure with patience, and I will walk in victory. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. I declare in the name of Jesus that I will endure with patience, that I will not lose my joy, and that I will walk in victory. I declare that for myself. I'm standing in the name of Jesus because I know that he will take me through and deliver me like he did the Apostle Paul. Whatever you're going through, stand in believing that God is going to take you through. He's going to take you through it. Yeah, I was talking to somebody this past week, and I said, just think about what was it that you were concerned about last year? What was the biggest thing? What was the biggest headache that you had? What was the biggest thing that was bothering you last year, about a year ago? Where is that thing? Okay, we weren't asking for any. All right, so think about where it is now. And for the most part, 90% of what you worried about last year is gone. It's not here. And you look back, and God took you through. And then I always say this, and people sometimes think I'm a little bit morbid when I say it, but whatever you're going through, what is the worst thing that can happen to you? The worst thing that happened to you is that you die. But then as a Christian, that's the best thing. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, you know, I can't lose either way. Y'all like what Tony Evans says. He said they told Paul that, Paul, we're going to kill you. He said, well, you know, for me to die is gain. We're going to make you live. We'll let you live. Well, for me to live is Christ. Well, we're going to make you suffer. Well, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not to be compared to the weight that will be given to us in glory. You couldn't kill him. You couldn't let him live. You couldn't persecute him. Paul learned how to deal with life. He learned how to deal with the circumstances of life. And so, in the name of Jesus, whatever I'm going through, whatever storm I'm dealing with, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm not going to lose my peace. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be patient. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to walk in victory. Those are things that we can determine in the name of Jesus. Now, your situation, your circumstance, is up to God what he's going to do. It's up to God how he's going to work. But you might not be able to change anything about your circumstances at the present time, but you can change the person in the circumstances and be able to stand. And finally, in the name of Jesus, we can speak to the enemies in our lives. In the name of Jesus. And in that last section, there was a man who was in a cemetery. And he came out, and he had multiple demons in him. And he came against Jesus. And Jesus... They already knew what was going to happen. What did Jesus say? All power and authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. So this man came out. He had multiple demons in him. And he already knew what the deal was. And what was the only thing that the demons could say? Lord, let us go into the swine over their feet. And that's the first case of deviled ham in the Bible. I know that was corny. Hey, you know, that's so corny, I got to laugh. That was bad. Mike Cephas says, bad is bad. All right. So they left. Jesus had power over the enemy. He had power over the enemy. And so we can speak to the enemies in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, help me to abide in you because by abiding in you, I can stand in authority given to me by Jesus Christ. John 15, 7. We read that. John 15, 7. Lord, I have no authority within myself to execute power over the enemy, but in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have been granted access to your resources. Please show me how to pray as I stand in authority against the enemy. Based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the armor of God that tells us that we take authority against the enemy. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness of this world. He said, therefore, having done all to stand, take authority and stand. Put on the armor of God. And when you put on the armor of God, you can stand in authority against the enemy, because he has destroyed the work of Satan and his demons. In the name of Jesus, I submit to God. Whoo! I submit to God and I stand in authority, and the devil has to. He has to flee. That's what James 4, 7 said. Is the Bible telling the truth or is it telling the lie? In James 4, 7, it said, resist the devil, submit to God, and he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. Saints, we are talking about the weapons of our warfare. That God has given us the name of Jesus. Now, you just can't go out and quote the name of Jesus. I've showed you the five things that are behind it. In the arm, armed. You are armed and dangerous. You are armed and dangerous. And we ought to walk not in egotism or not braggadocious, but we ought to be able to walk in confidence, knowing that we can use the name of Jesus against our sickness, against our circumstances, and against our enemy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we are so grateful that you have let us know that we can stand against the enemy. We can take authority against the enemy. And so, Lord, and it's not because of our might, and it's not because of our power, but it's because of the power that resides in Jesus Christ. Lord, it just blows my mind to think that here Christ has all power and authority, and he has entitled us to use his name. He said to use my name. And some, either we don't believe it, or we let the devil rob us of what we have. Lord, you said for us to use your name. And not just say, Lord, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. It's more than that. Not now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep in Jesus' name. No, you have given us your name to do battle. What did Paul mean when he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? We're in a war and we can't go out here and fight it with fleshly weapons, trying to argue with folk, trying to beat somebody up or cuss somebody out. Those are carnal weapons. Those are fleshly weapons. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Armor of God as a Weapon from our series, Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, The Name of Jesus as a Weapon, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Name of Jesus as a Weapon. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Name of Jesus as a Weapon, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Weapons of Our Warfare. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.